Proverbs 4:26 says, "Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways." Hi, I'm Rob West. That's a reminder to live intentionally, to make thoughtful, wise choices rather than drifting along. And that includes the way we manage our money. Today, we'll explore how a biblically grounded approach to budgeting can help us put God's priorities first. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our friend Matt Bell recently wrote a thought-provoking article contrasting the world's typical approach to budgeting with a perspective shaped by biblical values. You'll find a link in today's show notes, but I'll share some highlights with you now. You know, if the culture could talk, it would give your budget a set of marching orders. It would say something like, make $80,000 a year, then move into this neighborhood and drive that car and wear these clothes and eat in these restaurants and take these vacations. Then you can give. Well, that's what the world says. Spending always comes first. And when spending comes first, debt often comes next. The house payment, car note, student loans, and credit cards. With what's left over, there's saving, investing, and dead last, giving. No wonder so many feel overwhelmed. When spending is king, stress follows, savings dwindle, and contentment fades. But what if your budget wasn't just a spending plan, but a sacred trust? Because it is. According to Deuteronomy 8:18, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth. That verse is a powerful reminder that wealth, and even the ability to earn it, is a gift from God. Now imagine hearing God say, I am entrusting you with $80,000 this year. Use it to reflect my love, meet needs, fund ministry, and invest in my kingdom. Save it wisely, plan for the future I've prepared for you, and yes, enjoy what I've richly provided. That echoes 1 Timothy 6:17, which reminds us that God richly provides us with everything to enjoy. So what does this look like? Well, with a biblical framework for your budget, you start with giving, then saving, then investing. Only after those priorities are in place do you decide how much house, how much car, or where the vacation fits. Debt, when used, is handled prayerfully and cautiously. Remember that with the cultural approach, spend first, manage debt, save if you can, give what's left over, that foundation doesn't hold up when the storms of life hit. But a biblically informed approach invites us to flip the script, reordering our financial priorities around God's kingdom. Rather than spending first, we're called to give first, then save, invest, spend wisely, and use debt carefully and sparingly. This echoes something that my friend Paul David Tripp says about this subject. When it comes to our finances, God calls us to stop starting with ourselves and hoping there's money left over for Him. Instead, the call is to willingly and joyfully accept that our money's primary purpose is to fund a kingdom of generosity in worship and service of Him, and then trust that God will provide what we need. It's a call to live wisely and intentionally, something Jesus underscored at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He warned, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." If we structure our finances on the world's shifting priorities, we're building on unstable ground. But when we build our budget around God's truth, we're anchoring it to the rock. And if you're ready to start building that way, it helps to partner with organizations that share your values. That's why we're so grateful for Christian Community Credit Union, a longtime partner of this program. Christian Community Credit Union is more than a bank. It's a financial partner with a kingdom purpose. Yes, they offer everything you'd expect for your financial journey, checking and savings accounts, mortgages, auto and church loans, and even investment services. But what truly sets CCCU apart is their mission. When you bank with CCCU, your money doesn't just sit idle, it goes to work for God's kingdom. Your deposits help fund ministries around the world. Your loan payments help build churches and support Christian schools. Every transaction becomes a tool for transformation. So if you're seeking a financial institution that shares your faith and helps you steward God's resources with purpose, consider Christian Community Credit Union. You can learn more at joinchristiancommunity.com The only thing you need to join is to be a Christian. Just head to joinchristiancommunity.com. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Not everyone loves a roller coaster. On their first ride, often a child feels great fear. They grip your hand with all their strength, finding comfort in your presence. Life can be like that. Twists and turns, sudden drops. But it's not our hold on Jesus that keeps us safe. It's His grip on us. Jesus says in John 10:27-28, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." And so we are held by the Good Shepherd. No matter what you face, you're safe because Jesus holds you fast. And you'll get more daily encouragement from God's Word with Anchor Devotional. Just visit getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
The term providence means God's superintending care over His creation.
America's Providential History with Stephen McDowell.
God is at work performing His will in history. And so through this podcast, we're going to be taking a look at the providence of God in the history, and in particular in the history of America.
America's Providential History, available now on the podcast page at AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. This is where each day we gather together to mine the scriptures, to unpack the ideas and principles we see in God's Word related to money management as you live, give, owe, and grow. By the way, you know, God's Word speaks to every one of those areas. You know, there's only four things you can do with money. Now, you might say, Rob, how is that possible? It seems like there's an unlimited number of things I can do with my money. And yeah, that's true, but they fit into four categories. It's your lifestyle, the money you live on, the money you give, the money you owe for debt and for taxes, and the money you grow, your savings, both short-term and long-term. And everything fits into one of those four. And God's Word speaks to each of those. You know, we should live appropriately. We need to pursue contentment and be on our guard in such a way that we don't allow our lifestyle, the pursuit of the things of this world, our material possessions, to compete with our hearts for God. So when we live appropriately and with contentment, we're able to enjoy what God has entrusted to us and certainly provide for our families, which is very biblical, but doing it in such a way that it doesn't crowd out God's plans and will for our lives. We then give, and of course we want to give really first, because I think the primary purpose for what God has entrusted to us is for our giving. And then we owe, and we have to be careful here, especially when it comes to debt, because as I mentioned, this is one of the primary ways that we presume upon the future when we are encumbered by debt. And we need to be on our guard there, seeking to only use debt for productive uses. I would say that's where the economic return is greater than the economic cost. Think appreciating assets like businesses and homes, not cars, certainly not consumer spending. So we avoid debt wherever possible, and we seek to get out of debt over time. And then we grow, and that's our savings. We want to save appropriately there, because the key for both live and grow is to start with the question, how much is enough? Now, you might be saying, well, it'd be great if I could get to the point where I had to ask how much is enough. I'm just trying to make ends meet, and I get that. And that's where a lot of folks find themselves, and that's why we need to be really careful about living on a spending plan and having our expenses dialed in around a plan that reflects our values and our priorities, of course, meets our obligations. And in different seasons of life, that's going to be much more challenging than others. That's where we trust the Lord for His provision, and we accept what He's provided and live within that. Now, it doesn't mean we don't try to improve that. Maybe, get a better paying job, or maybe work with seek out a second job, or try to reduce spending. I mean, we need to do our part, but at the end of the day, God is our provider. And then we need to ask the question, how much is enough for our savings, both for the short term, and that's where we recommend 3 to 6 months for your emergency funds, and then for the long term. What is our ultimate goal for accumulation? How much are we trying to save over the long haul? And what is that number? It's not about the mindless accumulation of wealth. There really should be a financial finish line. So as we go back to God's word, we see the big ideas and themes around each of these areas, and then we want to live accordingly. Again, live, give, owe, and grow. Hopefully that's helpful to you as you think about how you apply God's counsel and wisdom to the actual decisions and choices you're making today. Now, what about passing this on to the next generation? Because it's one thing for us to develop a biblical worldview around money management. It's an entirely different thing for us to pass that on to a child, a future adult that needs to not only have the financial literacy skills, avoiding the dangers of debt, working hard, living within their means on a spending plan, giving generously, leveraging compound savings and investing for the future, all of those skills that are necessary, but also a biblical worldview. So they're not discovering that for the first time as adults, but they're actually seeing that modeled and discussed at home prior to leaving. The fact that God owns it all and that we're stewards or managers and money is a tool, it's morally neutral and it can be used for good or bad. Well, what does it look like to intentionally transfer these ideas, both the financial and the spiritual, to our kids? Remember Mark 8:36 says, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" Well, let's talk about those different age ranges here for a moment, because I think this could be helpful. As you think about ages 3 to 5, these are the early years, of course, we can already start to communicate God's ownership, talking about the fact to these youngsters that God owns everything and we're only stewards. Take them to the very first passage in the Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So it's all His. Show them Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live within it. So we can begin to talk about the idea that God owns it all, and that work, buying things, requires money that is earned. And work is a good thing. It was not a punishment. It actually preceded the fall of man. And so we can talk about, even in these early years, why working hard is important, and that money is what we have to use to buy things. Philippians 4:19, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." So we need to talk about needs versus wants. That's, of course, going to become a bigger and bigger idea as they get older. We want them to start hearing about that early.
What about the importance of gratitude? That can start in this age range of 3 to 5 as well. That everything is a gift from God and we should be grateful for what he's given us. John 3:27, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it's given him from heaven. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we can start even in ages 3 to 5 communicating these ideas that there is a biblical model for how we should think about money, and there's some important skills we need to learn. Karen called. She couldn't hold, but she and her husband have an annuity, and they're wondering about charitable giving out of an annuity. And, you know, I love this question because when we've got an investment asset and we're wanting to think about how we can give generously, you know, your balance sheet is your greatest potential for giving. With regard to an annuity, and that was, I think, a question Karen was hitting on, it does allow you through a charitable gift annuity to fund the work of a ministry and receive lifetime income while you're living. So here's the way it works. You would essentially make a gift into a charitable gift annuity at a ministry. In exchange for that, they give you an income stream for life based on your age and the amount of money that you put in. And then you get a partial tax deduction as the money goes in. Once you pass away, whatever is remaining after your death, that then is given to the ministry or the charity. And so it's really a great opportunity for folks in that retirement season of life looking for income, also wanting to bless a ministry that's on their heart. You can kind of do both at the same time and get some tax advantages. So when we think about giving and annuities, the charitable gift annuity is really that primary vehicle. The other approach, if you just have kind of a vanilla-flavored annuity and another type of annuity, really your best opportunity there is just to take a straight withdrawal from that annuity and then donate those proceeds to a charity. That would help offset any of the tax bite you get by taking the withdrawal. By the way, when it comes to giving off of your balance sheet, some of the more common opportunities that are overlooked are, number one, appreciated stock. Another opportunity there would be gifts of a business interest, also gifts of a real estate interest. And a lot of those will use what's called a donor-advised fund, and our friends at the National Christian Foundation can help you out with that if you're interested in learning more. All right, a quick break and then back with much more. Stick around. We'll be right back.
The mission of American Family Association is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture and give aid to the church here and abroad in its task of fulfilling the Great Commission. Further, AFA believes this ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on the earth, belongs to God, and AFA's role is that of a trusted manager.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often, yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
I'll do some stand-up comedy, Abe will do some preaching, Tim will MC the whole thing, and I'm really excited about it. The Weekend with AFA is a chance for our supporters to get better acquainted with the people and ministry you're supporting.
It's a Weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more. Register at afa.net/weekend.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
AFA is a listener-supported ministry, and one very popular way to help us fulfill the Great Commission is through the AFA Foundation. You may know about things like charitable gift annuities, bequests, trusts, and wills, but even if you don't, AFA Foundation will not only provide in-depth answers to your questions, we'll even help you set everything up so you can leave a legacy that lasts for generations. Get started today at AFAFoundation.net. AFAFoundation.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Our team is away today, so don't call in, but we lined up some great questions in advance, and we'll be going to those here in just a moment. Let me also remind you that the advice that I give each day on this program is general in nature. We offer principles and ideas that apply at a high level. They are not personalized, so that's why you should always seek professional financial advice. And if you'd like to find a professional who shares your values, we, of course, here at Faith and Finance recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. These are men and women who've met high standards, and they've been trained to bring a biblical worldview of financial decision-making. You can find one at faithfi.com. Let's go right back to the phones. Austin, Texas is where Lisa is. Lisa, how can I help?
Yes, I just wanted general information about universal index life insurance. It kind of seems too good to be true. Like, I've heard that you put money in and it always increases, but you never lose money out of there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In case with the stocks, and it sounds too good to be true.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind, everybody gets paid somehow. And here's how it works with regard to this particular product. So with a universal life policy, an index universal life, the financial product is tied to a broad market index. So like the S&P 500, which would be the 500 largest companies in the U.S. Okay. And it allows you to participate in the market gains while protecting against the losses when the market declines. Now, you might say, how do they do that? How do they give you the upside but not the downside? Well, the way they do that is you don't get 100% of the upside. So, you know, when the market's up 23%, you might get the first 10% of that, and they're going to keep the rest. And by keeping, the upside for themselves beyond what's called the participation rate, which is the portion you get, that's how they pay the bills. And so, you know, in exchange for that, they're going to give you downside protection. So if the index falls, let's say it's down 10%, you don't lose any principal. Your account stays flat, or it may earn a guaranteed minimum, but they're going to do that by not giving you 100% of the upside. And then they use some sophisticated strategies to protect themselves, you know, things like options and, you know, various other things that are somewhat sophisticated to kind of limit their risk. Now, here's the problem with that is, you know, when you look at the average stock market returns and you see that, okay, the S&P 500 has done, you know, an average of 9% over the last 70 years per year. Well, when you dig into that number, what you will find is that in large part, the way that the stock market was able to average those annual returns is because there was some years where the market was up dramatically, and that helps to offset the down years and the flat years, and that's how you get those nice returns. The problem is with these products, because you're only getting participation in a portion of the upside, maybe it's 80%, and you're giving up the rest, well, you're not going to get those average annual returns because you're going to miss out on those dramatic up years. And, you know, the last 2 years are a great example of this. Even though this year has been a challenge in the first, 4 months, the last 2 years, the market's been up more than 20% per year the last 2 years. Well, index universal life products haven't gotten that because they didn't participate in 100%. Does that make sense?
I think it does.
Yeah.
I think it does.
So essentially, to just kind of boil it down, they're going to tie your returns to a market index, and you're going to have a participation rate, which means you get to participate in only a portion of the upside. And when the market's up more than that, they're going to keep it and pay their bills and make their profit. And when the market's down, they're going to limit their risk through options trading and other tools. So at the end of the day, if you're looking for peace of mind and safety, well, this could be an option for you. But for me, I'd rather you get the full upside and limit your risk through diversification and the right investment strategy and not be dependent upon some of the complexities of an insurance product where you can't get access to all of your money because you have penalties and, you know, things like that. But if safety and peace of mind is really at the top of the list in your priorities, well, then products like this could be helpful. I would go through an advisor, though, who can show you, you know, several different indexed annuities because they're not all created equal, rather than just going to one life insurance salesperson who's going to sell you one product and one product only, if that makes sense.
Oh, yes, it does. Great information. You've answered my question. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Lisa. Listen, there are a bunch of CKAs there in Austin, and if you want to find one to talk through this, just go to faithfi.com. Let's go to Cleveland. Hi, Forrest. How can I help?
Hi. I have a colleague, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a colleague who's just graduated from college, working for a company. He's got something like $12,000 in debt, and I'm trying to figure out the best way to advise him on how to deal with his debt. Like I said, he's got $12,000 in debt from school, which isn't terrible. He's already saved up like $10,000. He's living at home. He has no expenses. I think he should just pay this loan off now before it starts gaining much in the way of interest. Where he's right now, he's thinking that he wants to just, say, put $1,000 down and then just start paying it off over time. And I need advice on how to advise him on what really the best method would be for him to, you know, to save the most money and get out of debt as fast as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I would agree with you. I mean, I'll assume that it's the typical federal student loan interest rate of, you know, somewhere around 7%, which is pretty common. Could be somewhere between 5% and 7%, which is, you know, typical over the past decade. It's probably got the standard 10-year replacement. You know, he has the ability now to cover a substantial portion of this debt with the deferment ending. So I would say first priority is to make sure he has a good emergency fund in place of, let's say, somewhere between 3 and 6 months expenses. And then if he has a retirement plan at work, maybe he's started a job that offers a 401k and they do some matching, I would take advantage of that as well, because that's free money. And then if he has any high interest credit card debt, that would be a priority to me. But beyond that, I would say absolutely go for paying this off just as quickly as you can. Stay on the line. We'll be right back.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Since 1994, Timothy Plan has shared good news with investors and advisors by offering faith-honoring mutual funds and exchange-traded funds. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners Limited and ETFs distributed by Foreside Funds Services, LLC. Investing involves risks, including possible loss of principal.
Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord, and it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays 3 p.m. Central on AFR.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by credit card debt? As followers of Christ, we are called to be good stewards of what God has given us. That's why our trusted partner, Christian Credit Counselors, is here to help. Their debt management program can help you pay off your debt 80% faster while honoring your commitments in full. Take the first step toward financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
What if managing your money could actually draw you closer to God? What would happen if we began to see God as our ultimate treasure? The FaithFi app helps you do more than budget. It helps you integrate your faith and financial decisions for the glory of God. With easy-to-use envelope features, top biblical financial content, and a supportive in-app community, you'll learn to steward God's resources wisely and grow in generosity. Download the FaithFi app today from your app store or visit faithfi.com and click app.
In Denver, Colorado, Jamie Sanchez obeyed the Lord's call and opened the Drip Cafe to create jobs to help unhoused people get back on their feet. Of course, the LGBTQ community began persecuting him for his Christian beliefs. His inspiring story of standing boldly for God's truth in the face of great opposition is part of our Impact series, and we'll send you the DVD as our thanks for your gift to AFA. Visit afa.net/spiritualwar. afa.net/spiritualwar.
Are you a financial professional looking to grow your practice while offering advice that aligns with your Christian values? By becoming a certified Kingdom Advisor, you'll gain the biblical wisdom and professional credibility to serve clients who are seeking faith-based financial guidance. Each year, more than 75,000 people search for a certified Kingdom Advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Start your journey today by going to kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance as we provide a hopeful, encouraging, biblical message of financial decision-making. You know, it's all about looking through the lens of Scripture, holding what God has entrusted to us loosely so we can give generously. I would submit that's the primary purpose for which God has entrusted resources to us, clearly to provide for ourselves and our families. But I think so often we get stuck in an endless list of needs and wants, never getting beyond that to the opportunity to serve those on our path and be generous, supporting the work of the Lord. Think about that today as you consider your role as a steward in managing God's money. We'll go to Hopkinsville, Kentucky. Hi, Rebecca. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So my property taxes are due, and they can be paid in two installments, in May and then 6 months later. But I actually have the money now from my tax return. So my question is, should I go ahead and just pay the full amount because I have it handy? Or should I? Is there anywhere to invest short term for 6 months, a small amount like $1,500, and grow it before I hand it over to the city government?
Yeah. Now, let me ask, though, don't they provide a discount if you pay it all up front?
They do not.
They don't. Okay.
Not
all
here.
Right.
No.
Okay. Got it. Yeah, so, I mean, if you were to put it away, I mean, the thing would be, given that time horizon, you really don't want to put that money at risk. So at that point, we'd be talking about maybe a six-month T-bill, at 4.5% to 5%. High yield savings is right about 4%, money market about the same thing. So how much did you say that would be? About 1,500? Is that half?
It's maybe closer to 1,800, but not much. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, we're talking probably $70, over that year, but you're only talking potentially 6 months of that. So, I mean, it's really not a whole lot of money. So I would say, given that, you know, that the hassle factor of you having to remember to do it later, versus the potential, additional interest you could earn, I would say probably go ahead and pay it. Now, I mean, the only exception to that might be if you said, listen, I don't have my emergency fund in place. And I'm working on that. But even then, I wouldn't want you to spend this on something else and then get to the end of the year and not have it, because the last thing we want is to have a property tax bill unpaid. So I would just say, if you've got the money, just given, what you have, you stand to make on it over a 6 month period of time, I'd just probably get it paid.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome.
Okay.
Appreciate your call today.
Bye-bye.
Anytime. 800-525-7000 to Chicago. Hi, Ruth. How can we help?
Hi, I'm calling because I would like to know, is there a organization that would be able to give information concerning the various organizations that are asking for funds, such as America Cares, CARE, Mercy Ships, and so on?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great question. You know, so the first thing you could do would be to see if they're ECFA certified, ECFA. It stands for Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And you could do that at ECFA.org if you're comfortable on the internet. This would certify that as a Christian ministry, they've met high standards of financial integrity and transparency and biblical stewardship. Another place you could go would be something called CharityNavigator.org. They rate thousands of nonprofits, both faith-based and secular, based on financial health, accountability, and transparency. I think one of the ministries you mentioned was Feed the Hungry. I mean, they've got a 4-star rating. You know, they, you know, you could go in there and read all about it, but they give a lot of great information. For instance, you know, you could see what percent of each dollar is spent on programs versus like administrative costs, things like that, what, you know, some of their activities were. So all of that is available at charitynavigator.org. And then I'll give you one final one. And again, we're assuming you're comfortable navigating the web, but a final one would be ministrywatch.com. They focus specifically on Christian ministries, and they offer a lot of detailed financial reports and transparency grades and even editorial reviews. So I think between those three, you should get what you're looking for.
Unfortunately, I am not able to navigate the internet. I have to go, yeah. I was hoping that it would be someplace that I could write to or that I could call.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't have one offhand. Do you have a family member or a friend or a grandchild that could help you, you know, do this at some point? Because I feel like the internet is going to be the easiest in terms of, you know, I don't know of any that would allow you to write in a letter and have them respond, unfortunately. You know, even at the library, I'm not sure what you'd do just to get up-to-date information. So I think your best option would be a friend or a family member at church or somebody that, you know, next time you're visiting would be willing to help you kind of check out some of these websites.
Well, that doesn't work very well, so I thank you for helping me.
Okay, I wish I had a better solution for you, Ruth. Unfortunately, I just don't know of one that allows you to call or write in. But we appreciate your call today, and I'll ask my team to check on that. If we find one, we'll mention it in a future broadcast. And thanks for your call today. Lord bless you. To Miami, let's talk to LaShara. How can we help you?
Hi. God bless you. I was just want to know about your thoughts about the XRP. That they're talking so much about the investing XRP. That the new actually government, it's actually that's going to be the new money trigger.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think that the cryptocurrencies and blockchain that powers them is here to stay. It has a wide range of applications beyond even the financial, you know, environment into healthcare and other areas of our economy. And so I don't think you're going to see it go away. I would not be investing in the cryptos and certainly not XRP just because of the volatility. I mean, they're saying that, you know, this could be a key to low cost cross-border payments for financial institutions. And, you know, there is, you know, but there's just a lot of volatility. And I think there's a lot of uncertainty just around the regulatory environment that ultimately is going to drive these cryptos, including XRP. And so I think for that reason, it really is, you know, just something that would be too highly speculative and volatile for the average person to invest in. So if it were me, I would stay away from it personally.
Perfect. Thank you for your, you know, for your opinion on that. And thank you so
Absolutely.
Much. Have a great day.
All right. And you too, LaShara. Thank you for calling. Before we head to the break, this is a great time for me to remind you about the FaithFi app. You know, we built the app so that you would have a money management tool that allowed you to build your budget using the tried and true envelope system, but to do it in a simple, beautiful format. We built it for you so you could stay on budget. We'd love for you to check it out. You'll find it in your app store. Just search for FaithFi, Faith and Finance. You can go to our website as well, faithfi.com. You'll find it there. In addition to the money management system, you'll find all of our content, broadcast archives, and the FaithFi community, which is there for you to ask questions and get responses from other stewards on the journey with you. Again, faithfi.com. Just click app. As a reminder, we're not here today, so don't call in, but we'll be back with more questions right after this.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. One more drama playing out. Is the sky falling? Are we going into recession? Are you going to lose all of your 401k? Are you going to lose your job? Are you going to be able to afford groceries?
People better be training their kids, getting back into church, Sunday school, reading the Bible. That revolution will save this country.
We've had a political revolution. Now we need a spiritual revolution.
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Listen on the podcast page at AFR.net.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
Yeah, if we're going to operate from a biblical worldview as it relates to money management, we have to start with the idea that God owns it all. That's a game changer in terms of how we manage money, because it puts God in His rightful place where He's always been, and that is the King of everything, the owner of everything. Remember, Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That means it all belongs to Him, which also means that we have a high calling as money managers of God's resources. The King of Kings resources. That's a incredibly high calling. So how do we approach that? Well, we have to understand the heart of the master. That's how any steward manages his or her master's resources. And we do that by going to Scripture, to God's Word, to say, what are the principles, the passages, the big ideas and themes that we should hold God's money loosely, that we should give generously, that we need to live with contentment, that we can't let money become an end, but it's a means to an end, a tool to accomplish God's purposes, and that having more than we need can be a distraction if we allow it to. You remember in the parable of the sower, that which robbed in the story the 30, 60, 100-fold return from the fruit of the word was the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things and the cares of this world. If we get too focused on the here and now, the temporal, we will miss the opportunity to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and stay focused on the eternal, the life that is to come, and our ability to send God's resources on ahead through our giving. That's the treasure principle. So we've got to guard our hearts, but we also live in the here and now. And so we want to apply God's wisdom to our daily decisions and choices. We want to help you do that on this program. Let's head right back to the phones to Alabama. Hi, Susie. How can I help?
Hi. Yes. My boyfriend of 10 years is 62, and he took an early retirement. Construction work just kind of wears a body down after a while. So he took an early retirement, and he's got profit sharing that he will be getting in about 2 more weeks. And he has no plans other than just get this money and just put it in his checking account or keep it in his man cave or in the house or something.
Sure.
And I'm trying to get him to do something with the money, but I don't know how to go about getting anything lined up for him or what to tell him. And he just can't just do that with his money.
Sure. Well, you know, I think we've got to take a step back because, you know, the way we handle money is ultimately symptomatic of our hearts and what we value and where we place our trust. And so I think, you know, whenever we're setting financial goals, it's really important to start, even before we start thinking about the specific goals, with our values as Christ followers and say, okay, what's most important to us? Where is God taking us? As he enters this fourth quarter of life, or, you know, this this next season, you know, what is it that he feels like God is calling him to do? He's going to have a little bit more time. God created us to be workers and to be productive with our hands. That might mean a change because, as you said, being in construction can take a toll on your body. But it also means he has incredible wisdom and experience to share with others and to be in community and to be one of those elders at the city gate that we see in Scripture. And so I think, you know, having a vision for this next season is really important. And then kind of marrying the resources, the financial resources, to that vision, recognizing you and I and your boyfriend are all stewards of God's money. It all belongs to him. It doesn't belong to us. Doesn't matter if it's coming to him by way of a profit sharing plan or Social Security. It's all God's, 100% of it. And so our charge is to be found faithful. And so perhaps it's a conversation, he may or may not be willing to engage you in this, but perhaps it's a conversation that starts with, hey, let's talk about what this next season's going to look like. And let's talk about how this money that's coming in can be a tool to accomplish that. And to the extent it's unnecessary because he has other means by which to cover lifestyle spending, maybe the thing to do is to, at very least, put it aside in a high-yield savings account to earn some interest. Maybe it's to invest it, you know, and take a longer term perspective, because even at 62, he needs to be thinking 30 years down the road in terms of, you know, how long this money needs to last. And that means in order to offset inflation, which we're all very well aware of lately, in order to offset inflation, we've got to have the money growing. And it's not going to grow, you know, sitting in his checking account or under his mattress. So, you know, I think perhaps it's the vision and value side first, talking about his faith and the role we have as stewards and where God's leading him in this next season. And then there's the practical, pragmatic side, which is, you know what, that money in a coffee can or under the mattress is not going to offset inflation, means it's losing value every month due to inflation. And therefore, maybe we ought to get it working for us. And perhaps those, with some prayer ahead of time, could be the beginning of a conversation that would ultimately cause him to say, you know what, maybe you're right. Maybe we need to do something with this. And perhaps better yet, he'd be willing to connect with a certified kingdom advisor there in Alabama who, as a third party, not you, but as a third party professional, could, you know, give you all some things to think about, give him some things to think about in terms of how this might be managed well. Think about that, and let's see what the Lord does as you engage your boyfriend. We appreciate your call today, Susie. I hope that helps. Mary, go ahead.
Well, I just had a question on charities, if they have to go by minimum wage laws of Florida or for hourly wage or the U.S. or not.
Yeah. So in terms of there is no difference. You know, they would have to follow, as a nonprofit, including Florida, federal and state minimum wage laws for their paid employees, just like a for-profit business. There are some nuances under, you know, fair labor standards at the federal level and Florida state laws. But essentially, you know, the federal minimum wage requirement, it's $7.20, 25 cents per hour, would apply to all employees of nonprofits. And then, you know, there's Florida minimum wage requirements as well, you know, for non-tipped employees. But again, it would be the same, you know, as a, you know, any paid employee, whether they're working for a for-profit or nonprofit.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks for calling today. Let's see. We'll stay in Florida to my hometown, Fort Lauderdale. Marie, go right ahead.
Hi.
Hi there. How can I help?
Okay, I'm 81 years old. I feel like my ship has sailed, but I have an annuity I don't understand. It has a death benefit, and I don't understand the whole thing. And I have other... I have other investments. I have a savings account, $20,000 with no interest. I have IRAs that I don't understand. And I'm like, I'm like overwhelmed because I don't understand all the terminology.
Yeah. Well, it gets very confusing, Marie, and there's a lot of pieces and parts, so I get it. But let me just start where you started, and that is your ship hasn't sailed in the sense that the Lord's obviously got a plan for your life, and you are a steward of the resources God has entrusted to you. And it sounds like you've stewarded them quite well, just given the assets you've accumulated. But I realize there can be a lot of confusion around, you know, various terms like IRA and annuity, and then within the annuities, there's different types of annuities. You've got fixed annuities, which offer guaranteed payments. You've got variable annuities tied to an investment performance of what's called a sub-account, which is basically a mutual fund. And then you have indexed annuities, if that wasn't enough. And those are linked to a market index. And then you have two phases of an annuity. You've got the accumulation phase where it's growing, and then you have the annuitization phase where you're receiving payments. And, you know, there's even more complications because you might have something called a rider and you've got a death benefit. So I think, you know, unless there's a reason that you wouldn't want to go this direction, I feel like, Marie, if you've not had an advisor, somebody who shares your values as a Christ follower, somebody who could walk alongside you, I feel like that would be beneficial to you at this point. You know, just to look at all these pieces and parts, lay them all out in front of you, talk about how they all work together, identify if you might be, you know, too aggressive in one particular area of your investment strategy. It could be that that annuity is a great piece to this whole equation and you ought to just stick with what you've got. But I do think you need probably, just given what I'm hearing in this very short time we have together around the confusion, I think you need an advisor to come alongside you. You know, that might be somebody who could sit down with you and just kind of walk you through everything. And the bigger question, you know, beyond just the education that I think you need is, what are the right investments for you? And is that where you're currently positioned, or do you need to make some changes? Does that make sense?
Yes, I feel like I need to make changes, but I don't know how. I don't have the knowledge to do it.
Well, and that's where an advisor could really shine. And that's why we love the CKA, the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation, because what you'll have confidence in if you go to a CKA there in Fort Lauderdale is this will be somebody that's a Christ follower. They've met high standards and character and competence and experience. They've had a pastor reference and client references. So what I can do, if that's of interest to you, is have one of our team members call you, do a zip code search to find out what CKAs are in your area, and then give you their websites or their phone numbers. And
And
then you could set up an appointment.
I feel like my ship has sailed.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have more peace of mind if you can sit across the table with somebody who can walk you through all of this and do some education. So listen, don't worry about it. We're going to get you somebody who can help you. And so let's do this. You stay on the line. Our team will get your information and we'll have somebody call you to give you two or three certified Kingdom advisors right there in your area.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay. I'm so overwhelmed. Thank you.
You're going to be fine. Hang in there. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Folks, that's going to do it for us. Hey, let me make a quick reminder. If you'd like to support our work here at Faith and Finance, we'd be grateful. We'd invite you to be a Faith5 partner. You will help us reach more people, help to fund our listener-supported work, and receive great benefits. Just head to faith5.com and click give. Faith5.com and click give. Thanks to Taylor, Sandy, and Devin. We'll see you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.